Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you today from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we are talking with Eric Kleinick of Sauce Hockey. He is the CEO and founder, and he has kind of taken the world of hockey apparel by storm recently. And we've been talking a couple times off air about how he's been able to do that. And one of them is his very high-quality branding, and I think he's also brought that to social media as well. So I thought it'd be fun to hear the story behind all the social media relationships Sauce Hockey has and how you look at social media, because I think everybody and their mother would love to have or do what you did on Twitter. How you doing today, Eric?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's always fun. I always get so excited to talk to you because I think you're one of the few people that think outside the box, literally. And there is an art of individualism in life, and that you can actually think differently and it's still okay. You know what I mean? You don't have to do the avatar logo and then plaster it all over everything, and hopefully the brand sticks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Absolutely. All right, but before we go too much further into the whole social media realm, did you actually have a plan of attack, or was it something that, hey, you just did it as a young person and it just seemed like it was working and it just naturally flowed? How did that ultimately come out?
We started 2009. I had been working in retail hockey and kind of saw a niche. Everything was kind of plain and basic at the time, and saw a niche that we could kind of create a brand of clothing and kind of a lifestyle brand that would kind of speak the hockey player language. And so we started in 2009, and we put together a really creative team of creative guys, photo, video, graphic designers, all that, and surrounded ourselves with good people. And we've been successful in kind of accomplishing our goal. Kind of just the beginning. We're still in our infancy stages, but we've had a lot of fun to this point, and some big things in the future for sure. So.
Yeah, and I think that's what's interesting about what you've done. And everybody, they have just relaunched their website as well. And if you go there, I think it's a major upgrade. I have to admit, last time, you know, the black background thing, you know, it's hard for an old guy like me to read, you know, and so to move over to the white background and to add the different lifestyle and the art and the music, how does that all play in as well on top of the social media aspect?
Our new website, we launched maybe this summer, I think, and we wanted just to kind of give it a fresh look and really simplify things as much as we could. So we decided to go to the white background and kind of eliminate some things that maybe were cluttering the page and whatnot. and then we added kind of the lifestyle aspect, too, that we've always kind of branded upon, but we wanted to kind of incorporate that into the website. So we kind of do some different features with musicians and some different artists, Goldie Mask artists and different things. And then kind of the fashion stuff, which kind of is our clothes or just fashion trends and whatnot. So we wanted to kind of incorporate all that into our website. And then kind of what you see now is kind of the result of our hard work over the last few months to kind of get that going.
So, exactly. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, so we're excited to kind of get that live and going, so it's been good.
Cool. So what is the hockey language?
It's just kind of how hockey is a little bit different than other sports, I think, and it's just kind of how hockey players and fans interact and talk with each other and the things they think about and do on a daily basis. And we've got a pretty good grasp, I think, of what our market is thinking and doing. And we've surrounded ourselves by, you know, NHL players or, you know, little mini Mike players and fans of the game. And we love to talk hockey and kind of the lifestyle. And so we've been able to kind of capture that into our clothing and into our brand, which has been a lot of fun.
Well, I think that what is so amazing is when you actually have somebody, because, I mean, you know, like the Lululemon of the world, or not that you maybe want to be associated directly with that brand, but it is another type of brand in another world that has really taken the community, taken the world, as it were, and elevated it above the clothes. It isn't about the clothes. I mean, sure, anybody could get a nice pair of jeans, you know, but it's kind of the, hey, I'm involved. I relate to that. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Did you actually purposely do that, or is that something that you just saw and you wanted to do, or did you tie those two together?
Yeah, no, I think it was purposeful. Lululemon does a great job there. They started as, they've actually been around for a long time, 20 years or something, but they started with, you know, kind of creating this yoga category for clothing, and it's turned into the active work and for, you know, golf and tennis and just everyday life. And
yeah, even CrossFitter is kind of like edgy.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, I can't go to the gym without seeing tons of Lululemon stuff everywhere. So they've exploded and they do a great job. But it's more kind of creating a sense of, you know, of ownership and pride to wear something that, you know, it's kind of who you are and what you do for your hobbies and your interests. And I think people like that. They'd rather wear something that they're passionate about than just something off the rack that has no interest to them, you know?
Exactly. Because I think that's one of the things that I've noticed over the years. You know, I was born and raised in the computer industry, and Microsoft and Novell at the time when I was growing, or I was coming up in the late 1990s or so, Microsoft was the marketing genius, made you feel all the love and all that. Novell was the technical superior brand and all that kind of stuff, but they could never get it all figured out. And it's interesting how Novell kind of bit the dust, but Microsoft has continued to flourish even in times that are maybe a little more difficult. But now the next question I wanted to go to is that two things. One is your relationship with Biz Nasty, because ever since we had our first conversation probably, 4 or 5 months ago, I am amazed at how many people actually follow him, know him, and think he's the funniest guy ever. How did that relationship form? You know, and is it a, you know, is he like a sponsored athlete for you, or is it something that you, hey, you guys just like your stuff? And he's, I know he's built a line with the fourth line, if you will. Sorry for that double word, if you will. But how does that all come together, and where does that go?
Yeah, so Biz, I met Biz, I think it was back in 2010, but maybe like a year after we started, and we're based on, most of our people are based on here in Phoenix, and there's this for the Phoenix Coyotes, so we kind of got hooked up just through the Coyotes and some of our friendships and whatnot, and he had a pretty solid Twitter following going, and he kind of said some stuff that was a little controversial, but it really kind of sparked, I think, the NHL and pro sports in terms of social media and their policies and kind of how they interact with fans. And so I think it was, looking back, it was good. So anyhow, he said something about Ilya Kovalchuk and some huge contract he signed, and his agent told him to take his Twitter down because they thought they were going to get all this hate mail from this comment about Ilya Kovalchuk's contract. But as soon as he took it down, all the fans were like calling the Coyotes, and they thought that the Coyotes had said to take down his Twitter account. And in reality, it was his agent, and he was just, you know, trying to play it safe. But the fans from the Coyotes in the league were like outraged that, you know, they were kind of trying to censor Biz and these players, and because they really want to get to know kind of the players with their helmets off. and who they are as people and interact with them. And they, you know, they don't get to do that on TV or at a game as much. So Twitter kind of gives that unique interaction with people, the athletes that people look up to and follow and watch and all that. So so he kind of he took his Twitter down, and there was this big outcry to bring it back and like free Biz Nasty and rest in peace to his first Twitter account and all this crazy stuff. And when he decided to get back on, we had talked previously, and we decided that the time was right to kind of team up. He liked our brand and what we were doing, and I got to be friends with him and all that. And we decided the time was right, so we created a couple of T-shirts that kind of played off of his past Twitter account, what was kind of going forward. And so there was, you know, a shirt that said politically incorrect, and a shirt that said rest in peace to his last Twitter account, and different things. And we had a great response, and so that kind of evolved into what is now kind of a whole signature line of clothing within our Sauce Hockey umbrella. And he's been great for us. The fans really take a liking to him just because he's so honest and so down to earth that people can relate to him, I think. He's not some sheltered NHL or pro athlete superstar that isn't accessible to the fans, you know, for the most part. So he's really kind of created a brand of his own on social media, and we've helped him create a brand through some apparel options. So
it's kind of like the Michael Jordan with the colored shoes back in the day when Air Jordan was just starting. You're the brand Air Jordan. You know, he was going to go against the NBA. He's going to get fined for wearing the colored shoes, you know, if you will. And that sparked the interest. And then all of a sudden, you know, amazingly amount of people wanted to buy these shoes because they were like the rebel, you know, so to speak. But it turns, it really does bring attention, although it does lead to an ethical thing. Well, how far do you go? Have you ever asked that question? Or is it something that you just realize that the response from the fans will tell you? Or how is it that you guys, or I mean, maybe he, I don't know, maybe he doesn't know either, but how do you guys gauge that?
I think we're smart guys. We know where the line is. We've been raised with good families and have good values and all that. I think we know where the line is. We may feather the line both Sauce and Biz, but we certainly know where it's at. And it's all in good humor. It's not to put anybody down or make fun of anybody. It's just for entertainment and having some fun, you know.
Exactly, because I think ultimately the biggest story I mean, I'll share a couple stories. Is I know a good friend of mine, you know, who's a big mental edge coach, Sean Goodsell, is a follower of yours. You know, he's up here, and then I even talked with a former publicist for the Maple Leafs, you know, or something like this that lives up in Canada. She's, oh yeah, I follow. He's the coolest guy. So it really is quite amazing how that relationship has built. Has it been built strictly through Twitter, or do you think it was a combination of the brand and Twitter?
I think it's a combination of both. The Twitter and social media, you know, Instagram and all the other social media networks that he uses, kind of been the driving force. And then, we've helped with branding and through apparel and photo shoots and videos and digital content to kind of help complement that as well. He's so... You know, we go out to a restaurant or a bar, and it's like he is a line. We were at the Toronto Blue Jays game, an Arizona Diamondbacks game the other day. He's friends with some of the Blue Jays guys, and we were up on the concourse, and it's Arizona, and so there was tons of Blue Jays fans down from all over Canada, and we probably spent 45 minutes after the game just. He was taking pictures with all the fans and, you know, didn't say one bad word about having to do it. He enjoyed every second of it, and it was really cool. And I think all the fans are really appreciative of that, to kind of get to meet him and do some photo opportunities with him. So
where do you see it go from here? I mean, because ultimately, as more people, you know, see the success, I think he has one of, like, say, the critical pieces is being a first mover in this thing. You know, kind of like Michael Jordan back with the shoes. You know, he was the first one that kind of, now if somebody, a new company was to bring out the idea of wearing, you know, red, you know, colored shoes, it probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But how do you see, has the meteor or the phenomenon sort of leveled off, or is it still continuing to fly?
It's still growing, yeah. We as we gain more distribution and retail outlets and a larger fan base and all that, we've seen our sales grow with both his stuff and our stuff. And yeah, I don't know what the future holds. We're looking at doing some different things and different, you know, media things and whatnot that kind of complement the apparel. But yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, we've got some ideas, but you kind of take it every day as it comes to you. You know?
One step at a time. Cool. Because, I mean, it really is. Honestly, and I've told the story on the last time when we were up at, obviously we're in Minnesota, and we were up at the Let's Play Hockey, you know, Expo, and, you know, you walked into the convention center, and you hear this little music, you know, kind of giving you the beat, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, and you kind of tapping your toes and everything. And then you walk down and you realize it's your booth, you know, and you're like, oh, that's cool. But I'm saying, in general, they're always, you got your stale hockey brands, I'm just going to put it there, where they're all telling you about how cool the pad is and how cool the, you know, how much lighter it is or how much harder you can shoot and all that kind of stuff. And you've got this little music going and everybody's walking over and they're standing around your booth just listening to the music. And I mean, it was funny because the whole crowd, I mean, because I was standing in the crowd, I could hear people, hey, this is pretty cool stuff. I mean, it really does pay to be different. Did you have a lot of good experience or good response to the show? And kind of what has been your situation there?
Yeah, we try to pride ourselves on being different, and sometimes we're a little bit weird, but we always kind of want to do something outside the box. And, I mean, to do the same thing that everybody else is doing is boring. That doesn't motivate us or inspire us. So we try to come up with new tweaks on things that other people are doing and kind of make it our own, or we try to be, try to invent and create different things. And so the Let's Play Hockey Expo, we wanted to make sure our booth had a lot of energy, and that was good. So we had DJ Mike Nelson, and that was a lot of fun. And we just wanted it to be kind of upbeat, and that's the kind of show. It needs some energy. Our brand is different. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, shin pads and the specs on them and the plastics and the molds and all that. So we've got, you know, ours is more kind of the brand and the lifestyle, and so we wanted to kind of capture that, the brand and the lifestyle in our booth, and I think we were successful with that with the girls and the lot of music and all that. So.
Yeah, because I do remember that, because that was is it Mike Nelson was his name?
DJ Mike Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, because he was there. He was good. I remember, and I'm not a music guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I really, like I say, there were people in, it was kind of like almost like a concert, you know, where they were sitting there looking at the booth, just listening to the music. And I'm sure, you know, we've all heard of, yeah, put the big plastic thing on top of your, you know, have you ever heard the nasal strip? Have you ever heard their story? The nasal strip guys?
I haven't heard their story, no.
Oh, they went to a convention and they had the big plastic nose and they tried to put it up on top of their booth. You know, this is a good side of a plastic nose. But anyways, basically everybody saw the big plastic nose and they knew they had to find out what was underneath the big plastic nose. You know, but on the other hand, you see, you're kind of the car dealership thing where they're out there with the guy flapping in the breeze, you know, and you're like, come on, you know, we're a little smarter than that. So I think that's what's great about your brand, is that you have taken the time to think about it. Now, I have an interesting question that's outside of that. In your past, you know, what books, what things have you read that have caused you to change in this idea of to be edgy, but yet understand the edge and understand individualism, but not be part of the crew, but yet still be part of the crew, so to speak? What things have you read? What things caused you to think like this?
I don't know if I've been so much like certain things I've read. A lot of just paying attention to your surroundings and, you know, TV commercials or ads you see and what other brands are doing and kind of what the norm is and trying to figure out something different. I'm inspired by, you know, guys like Steve Jobs of Apple and Richard Branson and other business guys that have been very successful and kind of done stuff outside the norm. Yeah, just kind of doing that and, you know, just dreaming up kind of what we envision to be our brand and our business like and trying to put that into action has been has been wrestling.
Do you sit down there for 10 hours a week and go into the room and close you in, yourself in there and just look up at the wall? Or how do you do it?
It just depends. I think creativity comes differently for everybody. For myself, some of my best ideas come over drinking some beers or at a hockey game or laying in bed at 2 a.m. and I can't sleep, or 4 a.m., whatever it is, and come up with some idea and I jot it down and so I don't forget. But for me, that's where a lot of my ideas hit me. And I've got to have a free and a clear mind. If I'm super stressed out, I'm not very, very good for anybody. I'm pretty worthless, to be honest. But so free and clear mind for me. But everybody's different. You know, our other creative guys, they're like-minded, but they might draw inspiration from different places. I know some of our guys work at, you know, 3 a.m. rather than a 9-to-5 deal, just because that's when it works for them, you know. So we're kind of all over the map. But
it is an interesting thing when you discuss the evening, you know, and the nighttime. Your mom and dad have always said nothing good happens after midnight, so to speak. But you do hear a lot of people that are creative that the ideas do come to them in the middle of the evening, and then they get up and they write them down, and it really is quite interesting to see how creative people have worked, you know, and continue to work. Cool. Well, thank you very much, Eric, for coming on the show today. I really do thank you for your time invested, and the website is saucehockey.com. Is there any other places that people could get in touch with you? I'm sure we can get on to Twitter and go to BizNasty, and then also Sauce Hockey, at Sauce Hockey as well. Is there any other?
Yeah, we're on all the social media platforms. Twitter at Sauce Hockey, Instagram is at Sauce Life, kind of our marketing tagline or slogan. We've got Facebook at Sauce Hockey. YouTube, Sauce Hockey channel, our website, saucehockey.com, and Biz has all the social media outlets too, and his is BizNasty 2.0 on Twitter, and BizNasty, I believe, on Instagram, and the rest of the plethora of social media networks, so find him there.
Maybe one day we'll talk about the importance of each one, because it's like, it really does throw the mind into some serious overload when you think, well, now there's a Vine, you know what I mean? For us older guys, you know, now there's a Vine. I said, well, what's the Vine thing? I thought we were just figuring out Instagram, you know, and then there's Snapchat and just a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, they're all pretty interesting. It gets to be overwhelming at times. It can be a full-time job in itself just to manage those things, but they've created a cool way for people to connect and for businesses to kind of reach their consumers, and you've got to be on there as a business, and it's a good way to kind of hear what your fans are talking about and your consumers, and you know what they're talking about, what they're listening to, what they're doing in their day-to-day lives, and kind of get a feel of the market as well. So
cool. All right, Eric, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Take care.